Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Hey, guess what time of year this is? Christmas time of year. You know what that means here at Prophets in the Spotlight. Doc is in the studio. We're going to be discussing his Truths of Christmas CDs and flash drives and all kinds of DVDs. Every year we do this. And this is some tremendous stuff. So you're going to want to get your family together, get your friends, and get them to turn the program on. And if you're watching by YouTube, share this, hit the like button, and let's get this out there, and let's make this a great Christmas. And all right, and let me read a verse to you, and then we'll bring Doc in here. My favorite passage for the Christmas story, of course, the book of Luke, chapter 2. And I'm going to read a couple verses here, beginning in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, he's talking to the shepherds here, remember them shepherds? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he tells them where to meet him, where to find him. And Doc's going to explain that to us here in just a few minutes. So, wonderful time of year Christmas is. And now we got a lot of traditions here in America, and I'm sure some of you in your living room, you've got traditions. Some of them are not biblical. And Doc's going to help us with some of this, okay? And so fasten your seatbelt, get you some iced tea, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds. Hey, welcome everybody to the program. This is going to be a program about the truths of Christmas. And now some of these truths are a little hard for some of us to take. And Doc's going to straighten us out again this year and tell us all the things that we're doing wrong, all the different traditions that are not biblical. Now some of those traditions are not harmful to anybody. But it's good to, we want to know the truth though, don't we? And Doc's got a series of things he'll tell us in just a moment. What's available at the website for you to go get. They'll be on the Prophets Spotlight website. They'll also be, that'll direct you right to his page. Okay, so if you don't have these yet, you're missing out. And Doc, let's start right there. Tell us about the materials you have.
Well, I have it in either audio or in video, and there are three sessions. And I have all of those not only on a compact disc, or you can get it on a flash drive. And they're the same on the flash drive as they are on the disc, but some people can put it into their smart TV or whatever. Not everybody has a DVD player anymore. Mm-hmm. And the audio one, you could stick it into your automobile and while you're driving, listen to it. Yeah. And all three sessions starts with knowing who Mary and Joseph are, what is the taxation, how did that all operate, what did some of the words and things that we see he thought about putting away privately, what does that mean, what was the betrothal process. Then in the second one, it's where was Jesus born, it's about the shepherds, the tower of the flock, and those things. And then the third session is on who are the wise men. What was the gift that they brought? How did they know to be looking for the birth of Christ and those kind of things?
The wise men, that was Baptist evangelist, wasn't it? Yeah. The wise men? No. Well, let's start here, Doc, with, I want to start with the wise men, not the wise men, but the shepherds.
The shepherds.
And that's not in order on my paper here, but that's okay. Because that's what I just read. I just read in Luke chapter 2. The good tidings here, and these are the angels after Jesus is born. And I used to, and I can't, I'm not saying this is true. This is how I look at it. God was so excited or bubbling, and I know this is just me talking. I'm not sure that God has these emotions, but he wanted to tell somebody. And this is...
I think he does. And in that situation, yeah. And I can tell you the angels were anxiously awaiting that moment.
See, this is the first coming, the first phase of his coming, which was secret. Mm-hmm. Only a few people are going to know. Yeah. The second part of his first coming was when he rides down the hill on the donkey, mm-hmm. what we call Palm Sunday. And that's a whole long story that we'll save for another day. But so this was secret. Only a very few people are going to understand this. But God wants to tell somebody. And that's what we see in Luke 2. The angels come.
They bring that message, and then a heavenly host joins in with them.
Yeah.
Because I think the ones that have the privilege to announce it, all the rest of them, I don't know if they're envious or not, but they can't wait till he finally gets this out so they can join in on this thing.
Isn't it a little similar? I remember when I got saved, it was 10 o'clock at night. I was by myself. My sisters had left some magazines. In fact, we were just in Maine. She's the one that left this, the Alberto from Chick Magazine. Mm-hmm. Alberto.
Yeah.
You can see the picture of him crying at the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She had left that stuff, and after reading that stuff, I knew I was lost, and I knew I needed to be saved, and I got saved. 10 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. July 4th, 1981. And I was talking to my sister. We were sharing this with my mom in the room and everything, sharing these testimonies of how this all happened and how we got to that stage. And there was two ladies, my Aunt Loretta, who was kind of the black sheep of the family, and we found out years later why. But she got saved, and she wanted to tell the family. She had her friend, a lady named Jan Battle. They got in the car, drove 300 miles. Old people, I mean, our age. And drove to Maine, spent time. My sisters got saved. And I'm going to get saved, I think, a year later or something like that. But my sister said, I still have that original Alberto magazine. I said, you do? She said, yeah. Do you want it? I said, yeah. Because I had one, but it was a new one that I got later. Now I have the wrinkled up, faded.
The very one.
Original.
Amen.
And I'm not a huge fan of Chick tracks because of some of the, I don't know, they're kind of graphic, some of the pictures. And I don't like the prayer, the salvation message.
But you find that on the greater majority of tracks anyway.
Yeah, but God used that to get me saved. Yep. And I don't know what that had to do with this. Oh, I wanted to tell somebody.
Yeah, you wanted to tell
10 o'clock at night. I had to wait till the next morning to tell my sisters that I had gotten saved.
Amen.
And I think we're made in his image, right? So we're kind of similar. Right.
Well, it's obvious that the angels knew what this is all about, and they were excited. They were excited to
tell. So tell us about this Tower of the Flow. How did the... With the simple, he said, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. They knew what that meant.
Yes.
Explain that.
Well, they knew where to find swaddling cloths because it's a part of their responsibility. These shepherds are what would be called sanctified shepherds. They weren't just anybody out of the tribe of Israel taking care of some lambs. They were the ones responsible out of their flocks from which the sacrificial lambs came. And those sacrificial lambs from the time of David until then, for almost 1,000 years, had all been born at the Tower of the Flock. Micah chapter 5 and chapter 4 both tell us about this. And so when a baby lamb was born that was going to be used for sacrifice out of their flocks, it was wiped off, the afterbirth wiped off with swaddling cloths and then wrapped in swaddling cloths after being inspected in a manger. And all of this had to do with the Day of Atonement in particular, as well as Passover. And so they knew where to find swaddling cloths because this was not just anything. Swaddling cloths are the worn out remnant robes of the priesthood, and then they're torn into pieces, and they're ceremonially washed and prepared just for this project.
So, Doc, where's the cows and the donkeys in the barn?
Because the Tower of the Flock was on the it's on the hillside of Ramont. It's on the hillside overlooking what's called Shepherd's Field, And when the Bible says the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night, normally they would bring them into a corral, all of the shepherds. And then in the morning, when the sun's up, the doors, gate is open, and each shepherd would begin to speak to their lambs or their sheep, and they knew their voice. And so they would come out and follow them. That's how the flocks got separated, and they still do that today. And so why were they keeping watch? They were watching over their ewes because they were ready to give birth. And they weren't to give the birth to the baby lambs out in the field. They were to take them up on the hillside to the tower of the flock. That's why they knew exactly where to go. The Bible, the next verse says that they came with haste and found.
Yeah. So in other words, these were not their personal flocks. They were working for the priesthood.
That's right. They were a part of the priesthood.
They were bringing they were producing the Passover lambs.
They were producing sacrificial lambs.
Yeah.
For the ministry at the temple in Jerusalem.
So they knew where to go to find.
They knew exactly where to go. As a matter of fact, they would have understood the message. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Well, they were looking for Bethlehem, and these men were taking care of their flocks that were a part of that service. So they realized, just like John the Baptist later is going to see Jesus come, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. So they understood their ministry and the correlation with the angel's message. They had to have been super excited.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. This isn't on the notes that we was going to talk about, but this just came to me. It appears to me that Mary and Joseph did not realize that was where the Lord wanted it, because they were looking for a place. And somebody did say, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mm-hmm. In other words, the places they were trying, she was getting ready to have birth.
That's right.
And they're, we need a place to go. We need a room. And there was none.
I think that it's obvious Mary knew, and it's obvious from the text in Matthew that Joseph knew.
Knew what?
Knew that this child is God's son.
Right, they knew that.
They knew
I'm
that.
I'm talking about...
But they probably didn't quite understand all of that.
I don't think they planned to be at the Tower of the Flock.
Well, they didn't. They wouldn't have been there to start with if it hadn't have been for the taxation from the Roman government.
Right, and that was all part of God's plan.
It's all a part of God's plan.
He had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea.
And
that's how they got there.
I explained that in the first session of the series on the truths of Christmas from the Roman records, how the taxation worked, why they had to be there. It's amazing. People say, well, why in the world would Joseph take his wife on the back of a donkey for 3 days? She's about ready to give birth. Well, the women in our audience that's had children, they're probably thinking the same thing. That's kind of silly sounding. But the way the taxation was set up, she has no choice, because the Romans tax an unborn baby as living. So when Joseph has to go to pay the tax, which, by the way, is a fourth tax that Joseph has to pay in all this process, and he has to be there, and because she's carrying a living baby, she has to be there because they are getting ready to pay a tax on all the living people.
Have you ever mapped this out? Because I know you've been to this Tower of the Flock, and you found something that proved that this was the place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you've shown me pictures of this. Mm-hmm. Have you ever mapped out how far it would have been from the city of Bethlehem where they actually met the Romans and signed up to pay their tax? Mm-hmm. How far from that spot, when suddenly, hey, the baby's coming, we need a place, how far is it to the Tower of the Flock from there?
Okay, back up, and first of all, to answer that question, if you went to ancient Bethlehem, which is, by the way, folks...
Not where it is now.
It is not the Bethlehem of today. Bethlehem of today is 4 or 5 miles to the east, to the west of where Bible Bethlehem is. But if you went there, and we've uncovered the city gates, if you went to the city gates of Bethlehem, and outside there we found the stones where the elders sat, which is where Boaz took Ruth to be his wife, right there at that same place.
Wow. Yeah.
And just outside of that, the gate, maybe 30 feet, or 30 yards, you'll come to the well that we call the well of David. Remember David said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well. Well, it's right there at the city gates.
Wow.
And then from there, from the city gates, over to Boaz's threshing floor is about 80 paces.
Oh, it's that close.
It's that close. And then up the hillside, about 60 paces or so, you come to the Tower of the Flock. It's all right there together at the city of Bethlehem in those days. So because of the taxation, all of the extended family of David has no choice because the rules of the Romans, because of the problems they'd had with Israel all these years, was we want to know how many men that are of the age for conscription of either 16, 17, or 18, if they're right at the edge of 20 to 60 years old, we want to make sure we know who they are, where they are, and what tribe they're a part of. So it was Quirinius was the governor. That's why in chapter 2 it's given as Quirinius as the governor of Syria. So he set it up so that under his jurisdiction, what we would call Israel, they now have to go to the place of their lineage. So all of David's extended family, which Joseph is a part of and Mary as well, they all have to be there and they have a week's period of time to pay their tax. They can't pay it where they live. They got to pay it at the root of their lineage. So when Joseph and Mary get there, it's hard to tell how many hundreds of his extended family are there.
Yep.
And so it says there was no room for them in the inn. And it's very important that we pay attention to those three-letter words, the.
Yeah, right.
It's a specific inn. And the inn would have been the storage inn at the corner of Boaz's threshing floor. You could easily put 10, 12 people in there. So when they get there, she's about ready to give birth. Well, all they have to do is just go up the hillside about 60 paces, and you're at the Tower of the Flock, right where God said he'd be born.
So Jesus is born in the same place that the Passover lambs have been born.
For 1,000 years, the Passover lambs that had represented him had been born. They had been wiped off with the same rags. They'd been inspected in the same inspection manger and wrapped again and then re-inspected before their sacrifice. But anyway, for 1,000 years, the lambs that represented him was born. That's where Jesus was born.
Yeah.
By the way, when people want to talk about the innkeeper, and if you're a Sunday school teacher, you need to rethink some of this because there are no innkeepers in your Bible. So when you talk about that wicked old innkeeper that turned away a pregnant woman and finally one of them said, hey, you can be born out in the stables out back, none of that's in the Bible and none of that is biblical truth. None of that's a truth of Christmas.
Yeah. All right, so let's shift gears here a little bit. This is all important stuff, and it's even coming more into focus the more that as I asked you these questions that came to me just off the cuff here. It's amazing where they actually met the Romans and signed and paid their tax.
Yes.
80 or 100 paces from there is where that Tower of the Flock.
Exactly.
And that's where they're going to wind up. They're going no room in the inn, so they got no place private to go, so they go to the Tower of the Flock.
That's right.
And I'm sure they got a private place in there somehow.
Well, it is. There's a chamber, a birthing chamber was in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the very place the lambs were born.
Is where Jesus was born.
Why not?
He was, as the Bible says, he is our Passover. And John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God should take away
the
sin of the world.
Again, the Lamb of God.
The Lamb. And then when you get to the book of Revelation, the Bible says, a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is talking about Jesus. And so that Lamb, Jesus, was born where the lambs had represented him for 1,000 years.
Well, let's just pause just for a second. We are viewer supported, so we appreciate our partners out there who send us a check now and then, and some of you faithfully monthly support us. Others send us a big check every once in a while. We sure appreciate it. And we're on several networks, and it costs money. And Doc and I are just like we were when we started. We didn't have no money when we started, and we ain't got no money now. I mean, we got a little bit, but You know, if God lays it upon your heart, or if you're looking for a place to support and give to the Lord's work, we would ask you to pray about Prophets in the Spotlight here.
Amen.
And that's how we stay on the air, okay? Mm-hmm. And the other networks that we're on some internet ones, they all cost money. The TV is the big cost to be on, you know, national television. So,
yeah, people have no idea how much it really does cost. So.
And I tell people, somebody throws us a big chunk of money, yeah, I'm going to buy up 6 months of time on some big ones.
It'd be nice.
Just yeah, because we're at the end of this thing. And let's get the word out.
There may be some of them thinking right now, well, we're talking about Christmas. I thought this was a prophecy ministry. Well, you can't get any more than the fulfilled prophecy,
yeah,
of the birth of our Savior for redemption.
I think people forget the prophecy isn't just talking about the rapture and the end.
No.
And end time. Prophecy is...
From the beginning to the end, your Bible is
filled with it. Prophecy, all different kind of prophecies,
right,
that have been fulfilled throughout the Bible there.
Absolutely.
Wasn't going to rain for 6 months, then it rained,
yeah,
you know, in Elijah's time.
Oh, yeah.
That was all fulfilled prophecy.
That's right.
It's just not what we think of. We think, mm-hmm, of prophecy as the rapture, and
yeah,
that's
because
prophecy, but that's not
we're
all.
Thinking about final end days of the church age prophecies. That's what we are often thinking
about. And that's
about.
Really all there is left now.
That's
we're winding
but
down.
But the track,
now.
Listen to me, the track record of prophecy and fulfilled prophecy gives us the assurance that the future prophecy will be fulfilled, yeah, just exactly as they're prophesied.
It's 100%.
100%.
Never been a prophecy that God gave that didn't come to pass.
That's right.
Or won't come to pass. So.
Exactly right.
Well, let's shift gears to some other men. We looked at the shepherds. A part of the manger scene that everybody,
yeah,
or what do you call it, something else?
The nativity scene.
The nativity scene. Mm-hmm. And we like the nativity scene. Don't get us wrong. We joke about it.
It has the major characters.
It's just not timely. It's not set
none
up
of
right.
them were all there at the same time. That's yeah. all there was to it.
In fact, when the wise men come, I believe they're back in Nazareth.
Right? They are.
Yeah.
And there will be between 21 to 24 months later.
Yeah. Yep, I've always said a year and a half or more. I mean, there's a reason that King Herod killed all the 2-year-olds.
That's
under
right, exactly.
To make sure that he didn't miss him. Of course, he did miss him, mm-hmm, but... Anyway, we got December 25th. Do you want to skip that, go straight to the wise men, or do you want to say something about December 25th?
Well, December 25th is a day that you got to remember that the Roman Empire... absorbed all, when they conquered a nation or a group of people, many times they would take their holidays or their religious feast or whatever and bring them into Romanism and give them a Christianized name. And so really the 25th of December is a day that they celebrated Sibyl's birthday, a false goddess. And then it's going to become incorporated into, because we know that the Romans in the third century, they're going to bring Christianity, quote unquote, and government tied all together. And then the Druze later and other religions that added a little this, that, and the other. So the 25th of December was a day that was given because it was supposedly the day in Mysteries of Babylon when... Tammuz was born. And, of course, Tammuz was seen as the Savior. That was one of his titles. And so they just brought this in and incorporated. Because, folks, lambs are not born in the wintertime. Lambs are born in the spring.
Okay.
And that's why the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks. The taxation, when you discover the taxation... The taxation was either what would have been the last week of March or the first week of April. It would have been about the week before Passover. And so there is no way that Jesus was born in December 25th. Now, just because we know that doesn't mean we don't still take advantage of the mindset that people have to be able to share the gospel with them. But I think as God's people, we ought to want to know that the truth is Jesus is a Passover lamb. He was born like a Passover lamb. He was born in the spring, and we have verifying evidence from when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Roman taxation gives us an insight as to the week in which Joseph and Mary had to be there, and it was not in December.
Well, I think I'm going to save the wise men for next week, because that'll be a good getting started point for next week. Yeah. But I want you to tie some things in here. Hebrews, a body hast thou prepared for me.
That's right.
That's this.
That's
what
this is.
I want you to talk about that. And I want you to tell the folks what is this really all about. Why has Jesus got to come into the world as a little baby, live his life, and then die? So tie this all together there in the two minutes we have left.
We have to go back to Genesis chapter 3, where we get the very first time recorded of this prophecy. A woman is going to have a seed, and then the next word is it.
Yeah.
And then the last words tells us his. So we know that that the seed of the woman is going to be a male or a man, and his purpose is to crush the head of the serpent, the devil. And we know that the woman, now we're able to look back, just like Joseph had a dream of the woman standing on the moon and the sun. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, we find that. It's talking about the nation of Israel is going to produce an offspring for redemptive purpose, the body for Jesus. And so it required a virgin birth. So we don't learn about the virgin birth until we get to the book of Isaiah. That's when we really understand this is going to be a virgin birth. So we find Mary is a virgin. So we discover that God made a body for Adam out of the dust of the ground. He made a body for Eve out of the side of Adam. And he made you and I a body out of the agency of our mother and father. But he made a body without sin by the agency of the Holy Spirit. That's where the seed came from. Mm-hmm. And the womb of a virgin Mary. Because Jesus had to be all man, but yet all God. And that's why it says, a body thou hast prepared me for the purpose of redemption. So that the takeaway from all of this is, folks, Jesus came for the purpose to go to Calvary's cross. That's why he said, for this purpose came I into the world. Yep. And the redemption that he paid, the price of our sin debt, I know we love to talk about the Christmas story, but really it's all about the crucifixion. It's coming for the purpose to pay sin's debt for us so we could be saved.
For this cause came I unto this hour, Jesus.
Yes.
Peter, put away your sword, Peter. What are you doing? I came to die on that cross for the sins of the world. Friends, have you trusted in that Savior? Yes. Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? I hope you have. If you got any questions, contact us. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.